This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey everyone, good evening. It's the day after the game again, extra time live, and following on from last week's passion, there were so many strong opinions last week. Wolves made a response this week with a 1-1 draw away at the newly named G-Tech Community Stadium down in Brentford. It was unusually incredibly warm weather for the end of October. It was almost like a summer's day. It was a beautiful day. And, I really like Brentford away. They're such a friendly club. I'm so happy when we went last year to be in the Premier League. And, you know, although last year's game was probably the longest game in Premier League history with the drone and then the referees thing not working when it comes out after half time. But it all went a bit more smoothly in terms of the game. There was about 6 or 7 minutes added time at the end of the game, but it ended 1-1. Brentford taking that lead on the 50th minute off a corner. It was a good strike. I think it took a slight deflection. And then Wolves responded really, really well just after that with a wonderful goal, a typical Ruben Neves. How many goals? Someone tell me, if we've got Carl watching, how many goals has Ruben Neves scored for Wolves from outside the area? So we've got our pundits already in the green room. We're going to do it in a first half and a second half today. We've got Jack, Josh, Hoops and Sutty. And I'm going to bring on to start with, we're going to bring on Jack and Hoops. I'm just going to change the backdrop. I do want to say again a big thank you to Wolf Life, the local life insurance company down in Bilston. As I say, you can get involved. We're getting your life insurance quote through them. They're giving special deals for Wolves fans. And you're also, if you fill the form in underneath, you can also win the chance to win a Wolves shirt. It's getting quite warm here, so I'm going to take off the old retro jacket. And welcome Jack and Hoops to the show. How you doing, guys?
Not too bad, Dave. You all right?
Not bad at all. And you, Hoops?
Yeah, really good, Dave. Really good, yeah. As you said, sort of on your intro, it's nice to talk a little bit more positive, I think, this evening. So I think everybody listening and watching, hopefully, is feeling the same.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to have a lot to talk about. Obviously, we'll talk about the game. The after effects of last year, I think pretty much to a man and woman, every Wolves fan last week was very, very upset, frustrated, angry. Fingers were pointing, some of the players going missing, not enough effort from certain players. And also fingers were pointing at members of the board. What's happening with the managerial situation? Can Steve Davis get a tune out of these, And they come back this week, and obviously you guys are going to give your own thoughts, but they've got a draw. So we're going to start with you, Jack. What would you like to say about the performance yesterday?
I thought it was a big improvement. I mean, I think, first of all, I think we've got to acknowledge that we're still a long way off where we need to be. And we've got a long way to go in terms of getting back to some sort of, you know, identity and what we want. But after last week, we all said, didn't we? We didn't see any spirit. We didn't see any fight. We didn't see any passion, no desire. I thought we saw a lot more of that yesterday. I mean, especially going 1-0 down, everyone in the ground in our end kind of went, oh, here we go again, didn't we? But we equalised straight away, which we've not done at all this season. When we've gone a goal down, we've tended to sort of fold like a pack of cards and that's the game done. Whereas I thought yesterday we were better after we went 1-0 down, funnily enough, I think. I thought the first half was almost a bit of a non-event, really. It was two poor teams for me. It's kind of sort of no confidence amongst either team, really. It was kind of almost you were waiting for that first mistake that was going to create the opening for either team. And first half, nothing really happened of note, did it? They had a shot that went just wide. We had a couple that were deflected and went wide as well. They got the goal with their first real chance when they got into our box. Good finish by Ben Mee, wasn't it? You can argue about should Semedo have ducked. Maybe he should have just got his head in there. Could anyone, Kilman, have got a bit closer? But then we equalised, a minute half later?
1 minute, 48 seconds later, Jack.
Which is massive, isn't it? Because the longer that it would have been 1-0 then, our confidence would have drained and dissipated. Whereas actually we went straight back, right, forget that, 1-1, here we go again. And I actually think, if I'm being really honest, if any team was going to nick it at the end, I think it was us.
I think I'd agree with that. And the other thing I would say on that, I thought the travelling fans were magnificent.
Fantastic.
When we went 1-0 down, the support level just rose another notch and the players responded to it. It was a great move and a great finish. You know, you have to say a big shout out again to Hugo Bueno. Again, had a fantastic game, got the cross. It came to Traore. Traore used his head, knocked it across. Then it was knocked back across. Boubacar Traore heard the call and Ruben does what Ruben does. The keeper literally, the previous week we saw, didn't he, that free kick where the keeper literally just stood and watched. This time, the keeper didn't even move and it went into the back of the net. Hoops, what would you like to say about the game yesterday?
Yeah, I think, you know, that first half was awful, wasn't it? But then I think, you know, the context behind it is it looked like a first half made up of two teams that had lost 4-0 in the previous week. So, you know, I suppose we shouldn't have been surprised with that first half performance from both sides. Both sides giving little away. So very, very cagey. Wasn't too much riding on that first game. As Jack referenced, a couple of half chances, unusually for Ivan Toney against us, and contrary to his form this season, he was off the ball, which was fortunate for us. But I think just going back to it, you know, when the team was announced, for me it was probably right. You could make arguments on Pedence coming out and some of the forwards. But when I looked at that team, I thought we're not going to be lacking in talent, but what we may be lacking in, which is unfortunately the tale of this season, is character. That team is talented. Now, I understand we're still missing and we will be for the next few games a recognised forward and we've got Costa coming back. But that team is a very talented team. But what it hasn't shown is fight, character, grit. We've seen too many instances, players not tracking back, players lacking a fight for the occasion. So I think the most comforting part of the game was the fact that we went down 1-0, the heads didn't drop, and we saw that character. Because ultimately, you know, that is the ingredient they're missing this season for me. You can talk about perhaps they're not managed correctly, but ultimately these are very good players and they haven't showed enough fight and desire, in my opinion. And I think we saw some of that. I think if we were perhaps sitting comfortably in mid-table, I would have gone, brilliant point. But I don't know about you guys, I'm thinking, well, we need the three right now. And maybe that's a lot to ask for right now because we've not been getting anything and we should take that point away from home. But we're in a position, because we've had the start that we've had, is we need to pick three. So I think, to Jack's point, I was a little bit frustrated that we perhaps didn't nick it in the end, because I think that was an opportunity against Brentford to take the 3 points.
Jack, did you notice as well when the goal came in, there was almost like the confidence come flooding back into the team? It was kind of like they were re-energized and the belief. And I think, but what both of you rightly say there, even when we went down to 10, and we're going to come on to obviously the Costa incident and the after effects of that. But for the last couple of minutes, they were still trying to get that goal, weren't they? And they just seemed like confidence came back into the team and the movement and the way they were running and the energy levels seemed to be a bit more there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you look at a game in isolation and it's kind of like an up and down scope, isn't it? And I think there wasn't many points in that game where we were under pressure or we were behind, sort of, you know, if you were in cricket terms, behind the run rate, if you like. It was always kind of within our grasp. And I think going 1-0 down could have been a big test of character for the players. But actually, they bounced back really quickly, which I think was absolutely key. The fact that we equalised so quickly. And like you say, the whole team kind of went, oh, actually, you know, we're not losing. We were, but we're not anymore. So let's go. And I think, like Hoops has said, I think we probably should have gone on and won it. And perhaps if we'd have been on a better run of form, we perhaps would have sensed blood in Brentford and kind of gone for the throat and perhaps nicked a goal at the end and won it 2-1 like we did sort of last year when we went there. But I think it's small steps at the minute, isn't it? I think we've been on a pretty poor run. I think we've lost 7 out of 12 before yesterday. And going back to the end of last season, it gets even worse, doesn't it, the stats? So a point away from home in the Premier League is always something that you kind of go, that's okay. You know, even if you're playing a team that aren't exactly flying like Brentford aren't. But I think what you said is right. I think we kind of did look a lot more confident after the equaliser, because I think that's the one thing that we've all said all season. We lack goals. And I think when we get a goal, I think the whole team kind of goes, oh, actually, we've scored today. You know, it could have been, and we've just said, if it had been 1-0 for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we're in the crowd are thinking, the players on the pitch are thinking, Davis and Collins on the touchline are thinking, one of them days, we're not going to score. I mean, I think last week we conceded 4 goals from 5 shots. Yesterday we conceded 1 from 3. So the opposition have had 9 shots and scored 5 in the last 2 games, and we've had 30 attempts and scored 1. So that's the tale of it, isn't it, basically? When you're creating chances and not scoring, and the opposition are creating only a few chances but scoring most of them, that's not a recipe for anything particularly good, is it? So I think the fact that we nicked a point there and ground it out, like we said, showed a bit of character and a bit of passion. I think we've got to kind of take the positives from that and move forward.
Well, that's one of the things that Steve Davis commented on, is that they were better in both boxes, and the team spoke after the game last week, and there seemed to be, you know, I mean, on our player ratings that we've put on the website, the alwayswolves.co.uk website, the player ratings are the higher, the match reports more positive. The things we learned are quite interesting. Guys, I would recommend you go and check all of those articles out at alwayswolves.co.uk, because we do have some fantastic writers. And, you know, there's positives, but like you rightly so, and, you know, and Hoops mentioned, to stay up in this division, you need to average a point a game. And currently, I think, right in saying, we're 10 from 13. And with Leeds getting that result again yesterday, Forest and Leeds have probably picked up 3 points that you wouldn't have thought. It just, you know, we're only like a couple of points from safety, but you don't want to be going into the World Cup 5 or 6 points from safety. So, you know, we need to be going into the World Cup break. You know, I'm still fairly positive, you know, a lot of people said about the skill and the quality of the team. And if you put the fight and application there, that's the minimum that every single Wolves fan expects. And we didn't see that last week, but we definitely saw it, I think, against Brentford. What else stood out for you, and who else stood out for you, Hoops, at the game at the weekend?
I think the centre-backs, you know, they've obviously come under a little bit of criticism. I think, I don't know about you, but people I speak to, I think, are still a little bit unconvinced with Collins, whereas other people recognise there's a real talent there, which I'm probably in the latter. I think there is a good player there, and I think there's a good potential leader. And I thought he was excellent. Out of the two, I thought Collins was fantastic. You mentioned Hugo, again, very consistent. And Boubacar as well. We know he's a little bit erratic in terms of his style of play, and we know that he's taking the mantle from Romain Saïss as the most likely to be booked. But, you know, that's his game. And he was competitive. But, yeah, ultimately, there were some improved performances. But I think, as per perhaps the stats that were referenced earlier of Bourneau's, it was we were defensively on top more than we certainly were in the previous game. So the centre backs, I think, deserve some credit from the weekend.
Yeah, the thing is as well, obviously, yeah, Collins coming back from that 3-match ban, he hadn't played for a very long time. And it probably does take a little bit of time to get a thing. I thought he was more himself. He was, Emma, the producer, made a note that he seems to be the one that does most of the talking at the back, aside from, you know, even in front of Kilman. He's like starting to take, he's only young as well, is he 21 or something like that? He's only a very young centre back. So I thought both of them handled it really, really well. Defensively, there's a couple of shots, wasn't there, that flew in from Brentford in the second half, and there was bodies being thrown in the way to block it when it looked like it was going towards goals, you know, some good tackles that were going in. But, you know, Boubacar Traoré, there's a lot of people wanted him to start over Moutinho. I thought he did good again. You know, he got caught out once for that shot early in the that just went flying past the thing. He committed himself and he got caught. The shot went just whizzing past the post. It was a good effort, actually, from the Brentford player. But, like, other than that, one thing he seems to have a real passion on, Boubacar, he loves closing players down. He loves getting his foot in and tackling. He's something that he really has. They've obviously brought him in to do. He might not necessarily be the most skillful, as a couple of fans were saying behind me. He's not necessarily the most skillful player, but he's a disruptor. And we need a disruptor in the team. How did you think the injury to Nunes affected things? Because obviously he was playing, he had that tackle, he went down, I think it's a shoulder injury. How do you think that affected the balance? Did it take a little bit of time to adjust, or, you know, because Moutinho came on after that? And let's hope he's not out for long, Jack.
Yeah, no, I think Moutinho did okay when he came on. I mean, I think going on back onto to Boubacar, I think what he does is he gives us a structure in the middle. I mean, I've said for probably 18 months, we are the worst pressing team in the league because we don't press as a team. It's one individual. So you watch yesterday at times, Costa was pressing their goalkeeper or the two centre-halves, but the midfield was still static. So that gap just increased and they could then play into that space and they'd beaten the press very, very easily. But I think with Boubacar, like you said, he presses, he's aggressive. He pulls everyone else with him. So now you've instead of got just him pressing, you've now got three midfielders pushing 20 yards up the pitch. Your fullbacks can then push up as well and squeeze. And if Costa or whoever's playing up front in the next couple of games drops in and helps him as well, you've suddenly got 5-6 players in a 30-40 yard box to try and press and win the ball back. And I think that'll be really important for us, particularly against footballing teams like a Brighton, who like to have time on the ball and like to pass it around. If he can get in and amongst them, win some tackles. I don't mind him getting booked. I really don't mind him getting booked as long as he doesn't get a second one. But if he can do that and disrupt and get the team up the pitch and win the ball back higher up the pitch, I think that's going to be really important. Because like I say, our pressing has been virtually non-existent for 18 months, probably since Large went in. You know, so I think having him there, like we've just said, can actually almost transform the midfield into a team that's effective without the ball. And because we then want to... Yeah, go on.
Which is what we need them to be. Hoops, you were going to just come in there as well and on the Nunes thing, weren't you?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I don't think it really had much of an impact on proceedings because Moutinho slots in nicely. I think the bigger point for me, and just to kind of reference Jack's point there, is we've got some very technically good footballers in your Moutinho, your Nunes and Neves, and you need a different type of player. And I think with what Boubacar brings to the team is that tenaciousness, as you say, is that pressing. Yes, he's not the prettiest footballer, but we haven't had this type of centre midfielder since potentially Sace when he was in the middle, or even back to Alfred Ndai, you know, a disruptor. Someone who's not pretty, but gives you a different balance. Because although they're fantastic footballers, I'm really not convinced that Neves, Nunes and Moutinho is of a great balance, because I often think it looks confusing in terms of what role each of those players play, if that makes sense, because they are so similar. Whereas when you have Boubacar in, it's quite obvious the role he's going to play, he's going to disrupt, he's going to break up the play, and he's going to lay it off to, you know, with all due respect to him, better technical players. So I think he's great, and I think I saw Manny's point in the comments. He's going to get better. He's going to grow. He's another young player. So it seems mad because Nunes is obviously our record signing, and we're all expecting so much from him. But I would probably be quite relaxed if he's out, because at this moment in time, I think the midfield balance, I would have him in over Moutinho currently. But, you know, I'd be happy if Boubacar carries on with a run of games if it's an enforced selection. If as you say, we'll wait and hear, I guess, what the extent of his injury is.
Yeah, I mean, and Boubacar Traore, obviously he's African descent as well. And he has been sort of like a similar sort of player at his age. So is it N'Golo Kanté type of player, in terms of, like, you see him winning the ball back, passing the ball out, doing that type of role. And like, I think from every time I've seen him, I've been really impressed with everything that he's done. His energy level is fantastic. He never stops running and trying to win the ball back. And if you've got someone that's doing that, and then the rest of the team are sort of following in that sort of press, you win the ball back, and then you get the ball, and then you can get your forward players going, can't you? Jack and Hoops, we'll go with you first, Jack. What did you think of the performance of the referee yesterday?
I thought he was awful. I mean, we seem to have this conversation week after week, don't we? The standard in general of the official is getting worse and worse, and they don't seem to be doing anything about it. They're burying their heads in the sand. VAR's great. The referees are great. You know, rubbish. He was absolutely dreadful. I mean, he booked Semedo in the first 30 seconds for a tackle where he won the ball. He booked Pedence midway through the first half for putting his body in between the player and the ball, and the player kicked through it to Pedence and went over, and he booked him. The injury Nunes got was in a tackle that was a blatant yellow card, and he gave a drop ball, didn't even give a foul.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seemed to me, I mean, I might be wildly speculating, but it was his first game back in the Premier League for four years. It seemed to me like he was going, right, if I can, I'm going to favour the home team so that the majority of the crowd don't get on my back. That's what it seemed like to me. Every 50-50 went for Brentford. Every opportunity he had to kind of give them a little bit of help, he gave it to them. We had virtually nothing from him all game. You know, both teams were wasting time in the second half, and he did nothing about it. You know, the thing at the end with Costa and the VAR, I mean, that's more of a VAR complaint, isn't it, than him himself, but it's one of them. I just think there's going to be, at some point in the Premier League in the not too distant future, there's going to be a serious incident involving crowd trouble on the pitch, because people have just had enough of the poor referees. And it's going to be a real shame that it comes to that, because we can all see it. We're all calling it out on every fan channel, every match vlog, whatever. These referees ain't good enough, and they need support. VAR's not supporting them. It's highlighting every error that they make. It's making them look like clowns. I mean, you saw the West Ham-Bournemouth game on Monday night. I mean, the VAR practically gave West Ham the points. He gave them a goal that should have been disallowed. He turned down a Bournemouth penalty that probably should have been given, and then he gave West Ham a penalty that wasn't a penalty. So every week we seem to be having games that are decided by refereeing decisions. That shouldn't be right. We've always said, haven't we, that we accept that referees make mistakes. Everyone's human. They make mistakes. Of course they do. And you used to go down the pub after the game or whatever and go, oh, that ref, where did he not see that penalty? Why is he given that? But you get over it after a day or two. With VAR, that's completely taken that out of it now, because there is absolutely zero excuse for referees to make mistakes, because the technology is there when they do make a mistake to help them. And it doesn't, because we've still got referees making terrible mistakes. There's inconsistency. There's things not being punished that should be. There's things that are picked up on that should probably be let go. I just think something needs to change quickly. He was terrible yesterday.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was suspended for 4 years. And lo and behold, he has to come back in a game that involves Wolves. It just seems like, oh, yeah, let's put him back in the game against Wolves. It's just them things. And, of course, got the VAR, which we'll come on to. Hoops, from your perspective, how you were watching it, what did you make of the referee yesterday? I mean, like I say, booked Semedo in the first 30 seconds. I thought that was a little bit harsh. And then Semedo's treading a tightrope for the rest of the game, which I thought he handled quite well, to be fair.
He did, actually. I do like Semedo, and I was pleased that he came in. I know he had some flack for the Palace game, for example, but I think he should be in the side. But yeah, to answer your point, I was watching the game, and I was surprised that he got the book out literally so quickly. It wasn't particularly a reckless challenge. It wasn't as if he pulled the player back and he was sort of central to goal. It was, as I remember it, towards the touchline. So there was nothing within that which thought, well, within the first 30 seconds, I'm going to have to get the book out, because then you set your stall out. I think the wider point with the refereeing is, I actually think the technology has hampered the referees. I think actually it's probably been to their detriment. I think the quality of refereeing has decreased. Now, whether or not that means that I'm not a referee, but I guess if I was in a referee's shoes, that if you've worked without that technology, but then you're kind of reliant on, you know, VAR, I'm not too sure if that their judgment is as right. So I actually think the technology certainly isn't helping from a spectator perspective. We know that. You know, it takes away the emotion out of the game. And I don't think it's helping the referees, to be honest. I mean, the referees will have an assessor at every game, but ultimately they're colleagues, so they will back up their decision. So I have some sympathy with referees. I mean, he was poor the weekend, absolutely, I agree, and he should be marked down if he's being assessed. But I think on a wider point, I just don't think technology is helping. I think we're talking more about referees now than we ever have, whereas the idea with technology was that actually we wouldn't need their intervention or have these, as Jack referenced, discussions, because technology would play its part, but it's still quite ambiguous at times as well. So, it's a wider point, but I would get rid of VAR. I'd just have goal line technology, for example, the whole offside stuff. You just take it as it is, and you get the game back to, you know, what it should be about, is that raw emotion and letting the referee make that decision off their own back.
Well, the Wolves fans yesterday were very, very frustrated and did let the referee know in no uncertain terms how they were feeling about his reffing. And this has all come down to consistency. He books Semedo for a tackle in the first 30 seconds, 40 seconds. There's a similar tackle up the other end. He didn't book the Brentford player. And that's why the Wolves fans were getting more and more frustrated. It just seemed like there's a similar sort of tackle that Wolves player made would get a yellow card. And when he eventually did give the Brentford player a yellow card, which he had no alternative but to do, really, was it over 70 minutes or something like that, it seemed to be, before they got the first card. The first half, like you said, was a bit of a League One game, really. There was lacking in quality. There was no shots on target from either side. The stats at the end, I think Wolves had something like 59% possession. I think we had one more shot to Brentford. So we edged the stats slightly. But then you get the incident at the end of the game. Diego Costa, 2 minutes from the end of the game, obviously the ref goes to the VAR. You know, seconders go in there, that he's going to come back with the red card. We'll go with you first, Hoops, on that. How did you see that incident? And also, if you're like the manager now, what do you do for the next game? Do you stick with the formation and have the one striker up front, or do you change formation? What would you do? Who would you have leading the line next week as well?
Yeah, I mean, first on the decision, it's a red card. And, you know, ultimately, he's put his head in. You know, I'm never one to say, oh, he's gone down too easily. I don't care. He's stuck his head in. He knows. And there was a lot of people sticking up for him on Twitter, which really did amuse me, actually, because I did think to myself, if Wang had done that or Geddes would have done that, he would have got some real abuse.
Belters, yeah.
But, yeah, of course he would have. But I think with Costa, it's like, oh, it's Costa. That's how he plays. He plays on the edge. You know what you signed up for. Yes, he's got that devilment. Yes, he's got that aggression. But I was really frustrated, and I still am, with the fact that Costa has been brought in as an experienced striker, because we do not have an experienced striker. And we want, the first concern is Diego, are you fit to play? And then 2 minutes before the end, he does that. Now, I'm sorry, but people were saying, yeah, but it shows fight, it shows. So I'm going, no, that's, you know, I'm not going to swear. Ultimately, we were talking about Boubacar earlier. That's fight. That's desire. You know, Collins throwing his body, you know, across the line, you know, goal mouth clearances. That's fight. That's desire. I'm sorry, but I can't excuse Costa for what he did because it's ill-discipline. It's quite selfish. He's stuck his head in. He's got frustrated. And now he's out for 3 games. So, to me, people are kind of like, Diego, he's shown some fight. No, I'm sorry. He's experienced. I know he's not an angel. We get that. And that's kind of the appeal and why we brought him in. But he's still an experienced player. And it's not as if it had any impact on the result, potentially, because it was so advanced in the game. But what he does have an impact is, and obviously I'll go on to the second point, is the next 3 games. So in terms of what Steve Davis would do, initially I thought, well, let's go with Hwang as his replacement. But then someone suggested, and I think reference to your point, Dave, do we go in a change of formation? So I would probably go Hwang and Guedes and maybe drop one of the midfielders. Now, I know I'm advocating two out-of-form, out-of-confidence strikers. I'm fully aware of that. And people could say Campbell, but from what I've seen of Campbell in the 23s, they're grooming more to be sort of a winger, to be honest, and I don't see him as a target man. So I think looking ahead to Brighton at home, certainly, I know it might leave us a little bit open, but I would be encouraged if he went two up top and played Hwang and Guedes.
What formation would that be?
Well, I think you'd still go you're four at the back. Essentially, you'd be looking at 4-4-2. So, you know, and you'd obviously have to, you'd look at maybe, see obviously how Nunez is. But yeah, 4-4-2 effectively, which is a change. Or you could look at playing Guedes slightly off Hwang up top, for example. But I think you've got to have a figure head up there. And unless I'm missing someone, as a target man and someone to hold up the ball, I can only really see Hwang. Don't think Adama's the answer up top there. I think it's better when he can run onto the ball. And we've tried him up top, haven't we, I think, under Nuno. So, yeah, I would go with Hwang or Guedes and just hope that that they'll come good because they're out of form. It's very kind, Andy. But, you know, we haven't got a lot of options, have we?
No, absolutely we're not. I mean, Jack, coming on that point, Manny here says Hwang hasn't done anything wrong when he's come on recently. I think that's a fair point. Against Palace, he held the ball well up in the second half. You know, so he's a guy that's lacking in confidence. When he first came, he was putting the ball in the back of the net. Jack, your thoughts on Hoops' comments there and obviously the Diego sending off?
Yeah, no, I think Hoops has kind of covered it really well there. I mean, I think the only thing I'd say on the Costa red card is, again, and I don't want to kind of rant about VAR, but on the evidence that the referee was shown, it's an absolute stonewall red card. And I'm not excusing Costa at all. It was a stupid thing.
I know what you're going to say now. Let me just see if you're going to say, but they only showed a 5 second clip. They didn't show the whole incident in Cottingham. They just picked out the bit where he headbutts it.
Yeah, in slow motion, which always makes it look worse, doesn't it? I just think, and again, talking about referees, common sense. It's been a gritty, feisty game. It's in the 95th minute. A defender and a centre-half are bumping into each other, pushing and shoving. They go head-to-head. One of them goes down. He doesn't need to send Costa off. Okay, letter of the law, it's a red card. I get that. Okay, and on the video clip he's been shown, absolutely, he's got to go. But common sense would say, come out, listen, there's a minute to go on my clock. What on earth are you doing that, Diego? Walk, yellow card, walk away. Call the Brentford player over. Stop winding him up. There's a minute to go. Behave yourself. Yellow card, off you go. And I don't think anyone would have had any complaints on that. I think we've lost common sense, haven't we? I totally get what people are going to say. Letter of the law, video evidence. We said, didn't we, when Costa signed, let's see how he gets on with VAR. it's already caught him out, hasn't it? So, and I'm not excusing him, I'm not condoning what he's done, but I just think sometimes we've got to take a step back and go, do we need to apply the letter of the law every single time to that degree that in the 95th minute of a feisty game, two players have gone head to head and they've looked at video evidence and decided that one of them was in the wrong and one of them wasn't, and so one of them's got to be sent off. I'm not so sure that we needed to go to that level. I think common sense could have come in and the ref could have just either booked them both or whatever and kind of been done with it. I think going back onto the second point, I'm totally with Hoops. I think Wang and Guedes as a two probably is what we need to do. I mean, we need to start scoring goals. It's as clear as the nose on everyone's face, isn't it? We need to start scoring goals. And the way we do that is by getting more bodies into forward areas. You know, we must be the only team that is chronically lacking goals and still playing one up front. It's kind of, you know, you've got to kind of get more bodies in there. And the easiest solution, as Hoops has said, is to go to a front two. Even if Guedes and Huang aren't necessarily prolific and aren't on top form and confidence and haven't, and in Guedes' case, hasn't quite settled in yet, give them a go together. It might be that the fact that they're both sort of in a similar position might just cajole them together and kind of go, come on, I'll look after you, you look after me. We'll get the ball together, we'll start moving it. And I think Wang's sort of best performances in a Wolves shirt came when he played alongside Jimenez as a two very, very early on last year when he sort of very first came into the team. And since he sort of moved out to the left wing and then he was played up front on his own a couple of times, he's really struggled and obviously his confidence has kind of evaporated, hasn't it? Whereas I think actually, and I think people have said before, haven't they, when he was at Salzburg and he played up front with Haaland, I mean, obviously, that'll make you look better already, wouldn't it, having Haaland up front? But if he can play in a two and that brings the best out of him, why not give him a go? We've said for a number of weeks on this channel, haven't we, that the key to getting your form back is your best players in their best positions. And I think we've got to kind of look at that and go, well, Wang plays really well in a two. Let's bring him in, but let's give him a partner, someone he can play off, someone who can play around him, whether it's Guedes, whether you maybe play Pedence as a sort of just off him and you sort of bring Guedes onto the left wing and Traore on the right and you play 4-4-1-1, for example. There's options, aren't there? I mean, it's not like we're completely bereft of anything at all and we're sort of scraping into the 23s or whatever to find a young untried kid. There are options in terms of balancing the squad. I just think we've got to be a bit more positive, be a bit more brave. You know, if we need to go 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1 and get bodies into the box, play the percentages if you like. If you put a cross in and there's six people in the box, chances are you're going to get on the end of it. If there's only one, you're not going to. So I think get those two people up front, get the wingers pushed up, the fullbacks pushed up. If Boubacar can drag the midfield up with him as well, I think we've got a chance.
That comes on to my next point, actually, because I mean, it'd be interesting to see what Josh and Sutty are coming on next to actually say when we get onto this point on their ideas on this. But like, obviously, if you're going with the two, who's your midfield four, Jack?
I mean, I think it's probably going to be Traore, Neves, Boubacar, and then Guedes, maybe.
Would you play Boubacar in just a four with his, like, because when he's in a three, you know, he's got a little bit more. Do you think that's a bit of a risk?
It is a risk, but I think we're at the point now, aren't we, where we need to start taking risks. Because a point
the
a game,
side,
a game isn't enough, is it? We need to start winning games. And I think the way that we do that is we start being a little bit more positive. We get more bodies forward. I mean, the other option is, and we've not touched on this, the Hoops are kind of coming on this, is 3-5-2. Bring an extra centre-half in, play the midfield three, and then the two up front. And you almost take out Traore and your left winger, maybe, which is harsh on Adama, maybe. But he's a great impact sub to have, isn't he? So whether you kind of go back to 3-5-2 and kind of just say, well, we'll just kind of stock up the middle of the pitch, if you like, make it difficult to play through us. And then we've got the two lads up front to kind of chase and press and see what comes up from that. So, I mean, again, it's options. It's difficult in the space of a week, isn't it? From one game week to another.
Well, Totti Gomez is all, you know, he's only just started running. He tends to play on the left-hand side of a three. Yersin was in the match day squad again the weekend, but I think he's more on the right. So it'd be interesting to see that. Hoops, come back on Jack's point there. And also, if you could, before we get to the spin the wheel, if you can give us your man of the match and your performance rating for Brentford.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think Jack's point is right. I was just thinking to myself, and I think Dave, you did the same point. the absurdity of playing one up top when we're not scoring goals. So you're right. I mean, it sounds obvious, doesn't it, really, to think that, you know, there's a real issue here and we're not addressing it. I think part of that is yes, looking to protect the midfield and yes, Boubacar is inexperienced, but he needs games, and we perhaps shouldn't be giving oppositions too much respect. So there's an option to go 3-5-2, but I think certainly we've got to look at, to coin a Portuguese manager's phrase, solutions, haven't we? We've got to look at different ways, because ultimately, yes, a point away from home was decent, but we've got a home, you know, we've got a home game here. We've got to go on the front foot a little bit. And yes, it does leave you a little bit insecure maybe in some places, but the back four, you've got to trust them and those in front. So I would still favour, say, 4-4-1-1 as opposed to the 3-5-2. So we'll see. But I think we certainly got to use this as an opportunity to get more forward players on the pitch. And then in terms of the game, going back to it, I mentioned Collins previously. And I think the hit for me, he was man of the match. So Nathan Collins, and then performance rating.
Why do you say Collins, just as a matter of interest, that he's your man of the match? Were the reasons that he stood out, like, just to remind anyone that's just come in recently to pick this up?
Yeah, I think with Collins, it's his all-round game. It's his leadership, the way he dominates the back line. There was a couple of chances where he literally put his body on the line. He looked assured. He always looked like he was winning set pieces. You know, he kept Tony quiet, who's one of the best strikers in the Premier League this season. I think there was only one instance of play on the byline where he was taken on. But other than that, I thought he was sound. So all-round play in terms of, you know, he's quite an old-fashioned centre-half in some ways. He's technically, of course, not going to be as good as Futsal Coleman. But what he gives you is height, you know, and a real desire and battle. So that those are the qualities that I saw in the weekend. There are other notable players, Boubacar, Bueno potentially as well, and Kilman. But I think Collins, out of the two centre-halves, for me, I would say shaded it. And as an all-round performance, I would say 7. As I say, mixed emotions in terms of, we could have gone on to get that win, but from where we have been, a point away at Brentford, if it's a point to build on, it's a very good point. If
well, that's point, the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the key now. If they back that up with a win against Brighton, then we go into the Arsenal game, we can have a proper go. But obviously Brighton coming off the back of a 4-1 victory over taking apart Chelsea. they're a team with a lot of talent. But they can be beaten. Jack, your man of the match and performance rating for you before we get onto the wheel?
I think in the context of the season, I think you give the performance probably a 7, don't you? Because it's one of our better performances. We saw a lot of what we were asking to see before the game. As an overall thing, you'd probably say a 6, because again, the lack of quality was evident, wasn't it, at times? And we did kind of lose our shape a little bit at times when Brentford kind of attacked, but although they didn't do too much, did they? So I'd probably split the difference and go 6.5. Man of the match, I'm probably going to agree with Hoops, which I know is boring, but I'm going to go Collins, because I thought he was very, very good, and again, I think he showed that leadership that we wanted to see. There's been a lot of talk all season about getting rid of that leadership group in the summer. Rudy, Sice, Dendonka, Bolly, etc., all moved on, and where are the leaders, where's the characters? Well, even though Neves has got the armband, I think I see a lot of leadership in Collins. And I think one of the underrated parts of leadership is about leading by example. We talk about captains being vocal and setting standards, but what you do as a player kind of defines you as a leader as well. And I think what Collins is showing is that actually he's doing everything in his power to help the team. He's making blocks, he's making tackles, he's winning headers. You know, he's pressing, he's squeezing. You know, so all the stuff he's doing in terms of his vocal and everything is great. But he's leading by example. He's setting the standard for the rest of the team. And I can see since he came back in, Kilman's been a lot better, because Kilman went off the boil for a few games, but he's now picked up as well since that partnership's been re-established. And I think the two fullbacks, I mean, especially, you know, young Bueno, who I think has been fantastic, having those two alongside him when they're out of confidence would have been really difficult for him. Whereas when those two are playing well, Kilman and Collins, that just helps him a lot as well. So I'm going to agree with Collins as man of the match.
Fantastic. Well, you've made some great points, guys. And now it's time for the wheel. So we're going to get the wheel up and we're going to give it a spin. And everyone in the chat can do this. We're over 200 watching live. So if you're enjoying this, please smash a like on the video. It lets YouTube know you enjoy it. I'm spinning. Let's see what it comes up with. Oh, here's a nice one. For everyone in the chat and for you guys, what's your go-to karaoke song? We'll go with you, Hoops.
The last time I was on karaoke was on a stag do in Barcelona, and I think we just went through the whole book because we were the only ones in the karaoke bar to some bemused locals. To kind of keep it Walls themed as well, The Wonder of You, I would go for. Oh,
class track. My dad loves that.
Yeah, it's a timeless song. It's quite a stirring song. So, yeah, I think The Wonder of You would probably be mine.
Fantastic. Jack, you?
It's been a while since I did karaoke. Sit Down by James is probably the one that I'll go to.
Oh, Sit Down. That one.
Yeah, that absolutely. Absolute classic.
I tend to do the, what's it called? Can't think what it's called now. It's out of Greece anyway. What is it? Beauty School Dropout. That's what I tend to do with that. I do like a bit of beauty. I do a bit of park life as well. But there you go. Guys, thanks ever so much for coming on this evening and sharing your thoughts and views. A lot more positive than everyone than last week. And like you say, Hoops, if it's a point, and Jack, that we build on against Brighton, then it's a real good point, isn't it? Let's hope we can. It would be very interesting to see whether they're listening and they come out with Guedes and Wang up front next week.
Yeah. Email this over.
But we're going to see what Josh and Sutty have to say coming up next. So thanks, guys. Much appreciated. No problem.
Cheers. Thank you, everyone.
Cheers. So that's Jack and Hoops giving some real good insight. As I say, we've got over 200 watching. Just to let you know that the channel has actually gone over 30,000 subscribers. I haven't done an official announcement on that, but thank you so much. And if you are watching, please subscribe to the channel. And you can comment as well if you're a subscriber in the channel below.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Fantastic. We're going to bring on Josh and Sutty. Hi, guys.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing?
Good, thank you, mate. You?
Oh, mate, thanks. Had a great day, all I can say. Josh, before we get on to the game, you did a little bit of an adventure before the game yesterday. If you want to share what you did. You might need to put your sound on, though.
Good point. Travelled down on the Friday night, and it was meant to be for my brother's 21st birthday 3 years ago. Managed to get tickets for Soccer AM, and it was initially meant for Chelsea away a couple of seasons back. And then I emailed them back in August when they started getting audiences and asking if we can come on now, audience are back in. So we said Brentford would be the perfect one to do it. So we travelled down the Friday night and was in the audience for Soccer AM on Saturday morning. It was really, really good.
You met a few people there, didn't you?
Yeah, so we checked the day before. Me and my brother, the man, we've got proper big back into our cricket. And I said to my brother as a joke last week, hey, good it would be if there was a cricketer on. And they had Ollie Pope on. So that was a good little talk we had with him about going over to Pakistan next month for the test series.
Are you going over, are you?
No, we're not now. Oh, right. No, but we got talking to Ollie Pope about that and the current World Cup situation in the T20 format. And childhood, I should say, idol, Dick and Dom, were on there as well. So that was good to bump into those pair, although they didn't stop much afterwards. They shifted quite swiftly. And then there was Miles Kane with Tom A. Smith doing the music. So it was quite a good day. And we had a really good chat with Tubes as well. At the end, I had a good 15-minute chat. So I said to my brother, I said, I want to go and talk to Tubes because I watch his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Golf Life with his brother. And I thought, I've got to go and have a word with him because I love watching it, love the interviews he does on there. And we went up to him. He was just sitting on his own. No one had gone up to him at this point. Everyone was talking to Jimmy Bullard and Fenners. I said to my brother, we've got to go and speak to him. Went up to him and shook his hand. Said, can we have a photo? He goes, yeah. We don't mind. And as soon as he took the photo, I shook his hand and said, Tube, we're going to say your YouTube channel's brilliant. But as soon as I said that, his eyes lit up. We had a good conversation for about 15, 20 minutes with him about got a YouTube channel, football interviews, Wolves. So it was a good day and all, to be honest.
Yeah, and then obviously you went down to the game. Sutty, yeah. What would you like to say about the game yesterday?
I'm happier, Dave.
I can tell that. You've got a little smile on your face, a twinkle in your eye this week.
I've been warned by my good lady that I was a bit miserable last week. She said, cheer up a bit this week. So I've got to sort of go with a smile on my face a little bit, mate. But well, it was a better performance, wasn't it? Let's be honest. I mean, the first half was a bit dour for both sides, really. It was, like you say, it was more like watching a League One game. But as soon as they scored, I mean, I was watching it at home. I didn't go yesterday, as you know. There was no emotion from me at all. I didn't say a thing. And then obviously we scored about 2 minutes later, was it? And I've flown off the sofa. And the lady of the house thought that we were 1-0 up at that point because I hadn't even cursed or anything them scoring because I just got used to it. Well,
We have.
Much better. I think we could have won it, Dave.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think we're the team most likely to win it. We had a couple of chances, to be honest. I thought Costa, it was his best game in a Wolves shirt, personally. I thought in the second half, it's the movement he made, he created his own chances and stuff like that. And maybe, because every other game, and I'm cursing it really, because every other game has been bought off on about, you know, 70 minutes, 75 minutes, 80 minutes. And I reckon Steve Davies probably wish he'd have bought him off because he's got that suspension. But he did have a good game.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because I don't think any of them go out on purpose not to try.
No. You
know, nobody does that, do they? Let's be honest. But sometimes in sport or, well, even in normal work, you know yourself, sometimes you feel like you're running in treacle, and sometimes when it's going against you, it gets harder and harder and harder. And then all of a sudden, there's that little turning point. You got to keep trying. I mean, you wouldn't have watched the Leeds Liverpool game last night.
I was listening to it, funnily enough, on the way back.
Nobody gave Leeds a
fantastic game.
Yeah, I didn't give Leeds a cat and mouse chance, to be honest. I didn't think Leeds would do it, but Leeds played very similarly to how we played 3 years ago. Suck it up. And there was a bit of to-ing and fro-ing, but towards the end of the game, they just sat in, kept a shape, and obviously they scored late on. Shut up shop. But when I looked at all the stats, over the course of the game, Leeds as a combined team ran 11 kilometres more than Liverpool. Effort-wise, that's incredible, Dave. Now, yesterday with Wolves, everybody put a shift in. Yeah. When everybody puts a shift in, it shows. I mean, I've called him out. This guy, for me, since we've come to the Premier League, first three seasons until he got two bad injuries, was probably the nailed-on person alongside Neves to get in every starting lineup, and that was Johnny Otto.
Yeah.
That's for me personally. Some might disagree, but he is not on it, mate. He's miles off. Now, this young kid who's coming, who I watched a couple of times last season.
You go bueno.
Yeah. This kid does not look out of place. He's actually, you can see him get more and more confidence as each game passes. And, I mean, against Palace, I thought he was outstanding, to be honest. And the ball across for the goal was as good a cross as you'll see.
You can cross a ball. I mean, think that the goal that we got, again, came initially from his run and cross.
Yeah, it did.
It started from that point, and it was a similar cross.
Yeah, and you see, you used to get Johnny Otto bombing forward. What I think now is, I think Johnny Otto's probably lost a yard of pace due to injury. Understandable, Dave, to be honest. But in a four, he hasn't got that cover. And I think he's always sort of, do I or don't I go? Because if I get caught out here, I'm in trouble. And I think he's almost playing in no man's land a lot of the time. He's frightened of getting caught out. And unfortunately, his distribution on his stats is shocking, Dave. His pass completion rate is low 70s.
Really?
It's awful. Yeah, it's really poor. He's lost in the games he's played. He's played 11 games, Johnny Otto has. I've got a few stats written down here. And he's lost in key areas. He's lost the ball pass-wise 21 times. Now, you know yourself, first game against Leeds, oh my God, he was shocking. He was really poor. And then against Leicester, really, really poor. And there's been sort of a consistency in how poor he's been. So I agree with Davis and Collins, taking him out of the limelight a bit and just let's see if we can get him a bit sharper, take him out of the limelight. Because I did hear people getting onto him, as it were, started, you know, having a go at him. And he is still a good player.
He's a great player. And I just don't think he's as comfortable in the four as he got when he had the safety net of the five.
No.
Because he always had that safety net. And
probably likewise Semedo as well. Probably likewise Semedo. When you've got the cover of three centre-halves, I'm not going to bring up the C word because he's gone now, but when you add him there as well, barking at you all the time, then, you know, you could bomb forward. They'd just shuffle across, wouldn't they? If you got caught out, they'd shuffle across, they'd wipe out of danger. But we're a bit more open now, and we've gone this way now, Dave. Unless we can't go to a five on Saturday because, I mean, Totti Gomez as well be fit.
No,
and is it almost? I don't know. I was all for going to a back four at the beginning of the season. I was really for it because I think the players we've got attacking wise, we should be doing it a lot better. We should be getting a lot more goals. This isn't a bang average side player for player. If you look at most squads in the Premier League, and you go player for player, they get form at the moment. There's not, apart from top six sides. I mean, if I told you Neves, Moutinho, and Nunes at the beginning of the season as a three in midfield before a ball was kicked at the beginning of the season, we're all looking at that thinking, hold on a minute, there aren't many threes in midfield that are better than that.
No, that's right.
But unfortunately, I think we're trying to shoehorn Nunes in. And the two lads earlier, I think they're right. They're very similar players. And I think Nunes plays better from deep.
Yeah, running with the ball.
Yeah, and I personally would stick with Traore, Boubacar Traore. Yeah. But I'd have him and Neves just in front of Mateus Nunes and let Nunes, he would almost be like in a diamond in front of Kilman and Collins. They'd give him the ball, and all of a sudden you're breaking away. Almost a little bit like Declan Rice.
Yeah.
He's that kind of player. He's too far forward, and I think he's lost.
Indeed, that's why. What do you think on that, Josh?
I think you're right. So my brother's said, like, Nunes really is a box-to-box. It's like Dave Edwards used to be. And yeah, a different calibre of player, but same job. You just back forward, between each box, doing all the dirty work. But like Tutty says, he's playing as it's come up on Sellers' clipboard the other week. He's playing that inside right position, really, isn't he? Behind the striker and between the winger and between the midfield. He's advancing. It's like an attacking midfielder, like someone like James Maddison would do. Is what they're trying to get him to do.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Chelsea game, Dave, when they beat us 3-0? There was one, he picked the ball up really deep on the edge of our area and he burst forward. Oh, yeah. That's what he's good at. So if he's all, and he's had to drop back in to get the ball there. So if he's bursting forward like that, I would have him sat in front of Kilman and Collins. And here's one for you. I did actually say before Cody went at the beginning of the season, I would have played Cody in the front of Kilman and Collins. A lot of disagree with that. Yeah. But, you know, that's gone now. But I would definitely drop Nunes just 20 yards further back. I think he's lost up front. I actually don't think he knows what he's doing. That's how stupid the top end.
People have mentioned that Wolves are not playing him in his preferred position. Mm-hmm. He has had a few chances and not scored, though. So, he had four or five chances in the box and he's missed them all. But it is a good point on what you make, and maybe whether that changes in the short term or whether it's going to be a new manager coming in that's going to pick that up and start playing him like that, we'll have to see. Josh, you know, whereabouts in the stadium were you yesterday?
I was top bottom of the, it's like split into two tiers nearly, wasn't it? You had blocks upstairs and blocks downstairs. We were literally, as you come out, as you bend round, we were just literally right on the steps on the right, right behind the TV camera that was in the disabled bay.
Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah.
I think we were to your left and about five or six rows back, so I could see where you were sat, Dave.
Yeah, we had a great view, actually. It's been brilliant. We're literally over the bit where they go up the underpass. We were on the first row there. It's a fantastic row. I put my match vlog up today, so if you get a chance to check that out. The Ruben Neves goal, got a brilliant fan angle of that one as well. And the Wolves fans, it was brilliant to actually have some joy to celebrate. It was mm-hmm. like, what's this? You know, joy. And then there was so much hope that went through from the fans to the players and players are back, that it's kind of like, we were everyone was so positive yesterday in the performance. And like you say, I thought we could have won it. We didn't, but you know, it was really, really good to actually have a great goal to celebrate. And I just thought that the players responded really, really well to that. I mean, what is your take on the Diego Costa incident, and who would you play up front next week?
So I saw the tussle was happening, I thought, here we go, a bit of argy-bargy. And my brother saw it straight away. My brother's gone mad about it, saying, like, why has he done it? He's put us in a massive situation here now where we haven't really got an out-and-out leading striker. It's leaving us short-handed. And like you said earlier, we've got to play one of two currently at the moment, local. Although I think Kwang's confidence has got better over the last few weeks. I think he's looked a bit nippier and holding the ball a bit up a bit more.
He's strong.
Yeah.
Can hold the ball up.
I'd probably stick with the formation and go with Wang up top. Try and keep Pedence inside like they were doing with Costa, just to try and run off him and allow Wayno to come running down the left. And then I'd say keep Guedes on the bench to come on, because we're short of wingers. We're short of wingers with Neto out, and we need someone off the bench with a bit of pace. And at the moment, he's the only option that can offer that if you're going to go and stick Wang up front with Costa being suspended for 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. So, to your thoughts on the same subject, the sending off and who's starting up front next week?
Well, it was a sending off, Dave. Obviously, I was lay on the settee at home watching it, so I had the the beauty of watching it over and over and over again, as they do. Here's a quick one for you, though, Dave. VAR, right? Before VAR, referees got 95.4% of all decisions correct. Pardon?
You love your stats.
Yeah, 95.4% of all decisions were correct when referees made them without VAR. Since VAR, 96.8%. But it gets better, Dave. Each home game, so when we play at home, that cost us to have VAR £28,000.
Yeah.
£532,000 a year per club in the Premier League. It's a rip-off, Dave. For getting 1.4% of decisions right, and it kills the game. I'd ditch it, I would. It's killing it.
It's not going to happen, though, is it?
It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. But how come they can get it running so well on the continent and we can't?
When we were in Europe and stuff like that, that's the question that it asks. I mean, there's an argument for the VAR that ex-players should be on the VAR rather than just having referees and stuff like that because they played the game. So, be interesting to see. What about you? Who's playing up front for you?
Well, I would have the same back four. I'd have the same middle three that. What we finished with yesterday. So I don't think Nunes is going to be fit. I've looked and I can't see anything. So he'll get assessed tomorrow, I think. But he was holding his shoulder pretty. He could hardly move it when he come back on, because he couldn't run properly. You could see him. He couldn't hold it. I was screaming at the telly at that point, just get him off. Do not get him any more injured. We can't afford any more injuries. But then I'd play Traore, Wang and Pedence in a three up top. And I'd get them switching it about every 10 minutes, just shuffle it up. Don't let these fullbacks get used to marking you. Just keep switching. So you'll play with a free line. You give the nod when you want to move and one comes inside. Switch it around and make it difficult, because it can be, if a fullback knows he's got one on you, hasn't he? You know what I mean? Doesn't matter what you do. Switch it around. Don't make it easy for them. And what we must do is do exactly as we did yesterday and give 100%. Nobody can have an off day against Brighton, because we don't do very well against Brighton, do we?
A lot of Brighton games, it's like it's almost certain to be a lot of them are draws or goalless draws and stuff like that, to be fair. But we do need the 3 points, don't we? Yeah. Josh, what's your performance rating and your man of the match? Who's your standout and your highlight? I forgot to ask the other guys the highlight of the day, actually.
6.5 for me. Same as Jack. It's one of them where you've got to look at where we are and a point. You take a point every day of the week against a team like Brentford, because I wouldn't say they're solid, because first half I thought both teams were poor. But they're a team over the last season and a half nearly now. They're drilled. They know what they're doing. Apart from last week, they've got their orders off Thomas Frank, and they're quite a well-drilled team. So to go to Brentford, which I think is a tricky play. You look at the likes of United the other week, 3-0 in 15 minutes, something stupid like that. So they know what they're doing when they're at home. It's just when they're away. So to go to Brentford for me and get a point. I know people are saying we need to get three, but looking at the situation we were in, we need the three, but a one will do. So it was a 6.5 for me. So I thought first half, both teams were poor. Second half, I thought we were the better team. And I thought until Costa was sent off, I thought we were potentially going to get a second, running into the last 2 minutes. Man of the match for me, I think I may have annoyed people saying this one, probably Daniel Pedence. I thought
he thought he was brilliant.
But I thought he played really well in and around the midfield, in and around Costa. Getting in between their players, run the ball. I thought he was running well, especially for second half down the left hand side. Apart from that one run he made, and he ran it out past the bottom line, which I thought sod's law. But I thought he had a good game. I thought he offered something down that left hand side with Bueno coming in behind him. And then moment of the day, And you say it's got to be going on Soccer AM and watching that in the morning. Really, really enjoyed it. A lot more inviting than I thought it would be, and everyone talking to you afterwards. It's really, really good morning.
And you had the weather for it as well, which is nice. Sutty, your performance rating, man of the match, moment of the day, or highlight of the day?
Same as Josh, 6.5, mate. First half wasn't terrible, but it just looked like two poor sides, to be honest. But I thought we played well in the second half. I was happy with that, to be honest. All I want to see is effort, Dave. I'm one of these that's a firm believer. If you put in the effort, you'll get your just rewards, won't you?
100%.
So I'm going to go with Boubacar Traoré, mate, because he was quiet first half and a little bit out of position at times, but the kid does all the dirty work. He gets around the pitch. He breaks up play. It did make me giggle when we scored. It's actually my highlight of the day as well, because he must have got the call off Neves when it come across the box, and it was almost like somebody had said, just get out of the way.
Yeah,
he just stopped dead. It weren't a dummy. He just stopped dead, and he sort of angled his body so he could, and then obviously for me the goal was the highlight of the day, because I wasn't there.
It was sublime, wasn't it?
It reminded me a little bit of the goal Neves scored. I know it was from a free kick that Neves scored against Villa when we beat them 2-1 at Molineux. Just side-footed it in. Keeper had no chance, mate. Just watched it.
No, it was a thing of beauty, to be fair. It was an absolute thing of beauty. It was really good. What do you think about the chances of Chem Campbell getting a start next week?
I don't think Chem Campbell will get a start. Chem Campbell, I think he will be a very good player, but I think we need these seasoned pros, as we call them, to really step up to the plate now. We do not want to be in a bottom three going off to Qatar in the World Cup. We even if fourth bottom psychologically, Dave, is massive, right? You don't want to be in the bottom three going to the World Cup.
Two home games to come. How many points we're getting out the next two then?
I've got a funny feeling, Dave, and I've got a really, from last week's doom and gloom, I've got a funny feeling we're going to burst Arsenal's bubble.
We are.
I've got a really funny feeling that we'll get at least a point out of that. And I said to you yesterday, I think, after the game, any away point is a good point for me. If you pick up a point away from home, that's a great point. The home team should always be the favourite for me, unless you're Man City, obviously. But you should be looking to win two out of three home games, no matter who visits. Should be looking to win two out of three, and I've got a funny feeling that we'll scrape a draw against Brighton, but I think we'll frustrate Arsenal. I think we'll beat them.
4 points for you, Josh.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a three. But I couldn't tell you which way around it's going to be. So I always think Brighton are our bogey team, where we go 1-0 up and they, or whatever it is, they're a goal behind going into the last 30 seconds and they end up scoring. Or like Sutty said, I think we could potentially do something against Arsenal. But I'd probably say 3 points, and I probably would say against Brighton.
Fantastic. I think I went with my man of the match. I went with Daniel Cadence. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. His energy levels. I love how he just, his little drag backs, everything. He's always trying to make something happen with him on the pitch. I'd give him my man of the match. I thought Hugo Bueno was fantastic again. Boubacar, I really love him. But you can't really have a go at any player on the pitch from the weekend like we could. The thing, they were all there as a team. They came over, celebrated the goal, was wonderful.
Can I just say as well, I sat watching it yesterday with my son, Archie, and all we kept saying was, listen to the Wolves, listen to them. It was so loud, all you could hear was them 1,700 Wolves supporters. It was brilliant, mate.
The fans were fantastic.
Yeah, it was all really good.
It was great. It was a lovely day. The weather was perfect. We didn't get the win, but we scored we didn't get a drone either. We scored a great goal. We could have won it. And they've got to now kick on they've got to kick on against Brighton. If we can get 3 points against Brighton, we're going to the Arsenal game. Confidence starting to return. And like you say, why not? Why not? Anyway, we're going to bring the wheel on to end the show. See what we're going to get with this one. So share screen. I'm going to bring the wheel up. Share it. Can you see the wheel?
Yeah.
So we're gonna give this wheel a spin. Here we go. Oh, this is a good one. When and where would you time travel to? When and where would you time travel to? Who's going first with this?
Go on, Josh.
Just trying to think. I'm leaning two ways. I'm thinking, do I time travel backwards? I'm only going to go backwards. Do I time travel back to 66? Or do I time travel back to 2 years ago when we were in Europe? So it's quite close. I'd probably say time travel back to 1966 to see us lift the World Cup.
Fantastic. Good answer. Sutty, you can go forward or back.
I'll go back to watching. I was going to say that, but I had another sporting event, the Rumble in the Jungle.
Oh, what a call that is. What
I'd go and watch that, I think, mate.
That would be absolutely, mate. So basically, mate, you know, the Rumble in the Jungle, there was a bloke apparently caught on there with an iPhone or a smartphone. Maybe that was you.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a picture. I don't know what it is that he's holding. People put it out there as it's old, like, you know, if the time travel does exist, because he's holding a smartphone. I think he's there in the crowd in the Rumble in the Jungle, and he's got like, what's the smartphone? And the guy does look suspiciously like you, to be fair. So maybe you've given us a clue that you can time travel. If you can you tell us, are we going to stay up, Sut?
We won't get down.
Resident time traveler has told us that we're going to be staying off. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you to everyone that's been watching the show. It's probably the producers, probably it's one of the shortest that we've done, which is great because I had a really late night last night as well, and I'm dead tired. It's been a brilliant show. Lots more positivity today. Manny's gone with, it was a good one, 1986, sign Bully for 60,000 and bring him on for Brighton. That's good. Go back and bring him back. That's good.
Yeah.
1974 League Cup final. This one. He'd go back a billion years to see if there was an Asian civilization before us. Absolutely fantastic. I'm loving the new Sotty with his needy 11 like him in the starting lineup next week. Time travel back to 1969 to see the moon landings. To be fair, Kaf, that's a good one. But like, you know, if you're going to be there, you'll need oxygen and stuff like that. And to be honest, I've actually heard that if they have a party on the moon, they're not very good. Do you know why?
Go on.
Because there's no atmosphere.
Oh.
It's time to shut the show down, Dave.
Ba-dum. It really is. That's a tumbleweed moment. Guys, thank you very much. Please smash a like on the video. If you're new, please consider subscribing. If you're listening back on the podcast, you know, I hope you leave us a 5-star rating. And there's a lot of your guests that will watch it back on catch up as always. Listen, from all my guests today, thanks for coming on. Thanks for joining in the chat. And let's keep this positivity going into next week. And let's hope that this time next week, we've got 3 points and we've scored more than one goal. And we're really got the positivity completely back. From myself and all the guests, God bless you and your families. Always Wolves.
Cheers, Dave.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in?
at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.